kisei of din, and it sits on the kisei of rachamim. So what you be mahapich, you are bringing about a transformation. You see that in the word teruah. The word teruah here in this pasuk, bereo, according to some of the mafarshim, it means ra. And mitzad sheni, we're using the call of the shofar to be mevakeish and kodesh baruch hu to have of rachamim, to be mahapich ra l'toif. Okay, we have two derivatives. Now, Vayomel Moshe, call Mulchamah b'machane. And what does Yoshua say to Moshe? The sound of Mulchamah b'machane. Vayomel, and Moshe says, Ein kol. Now, here's the word that's relevant to our discussion. Anois givura. The Ein kol anois chalusha. Kol anois anochi shomea. So let's see Rashi first. Yudches. Ein kol anois givura. Ein kol hazen nirek kol anias giboirim. Hatsoyakim nitzochoyim. It is not the sound of raising your voice in celebration of success. The loy kol chaloshim shetzoyakim vay oilisa. It's not the sound of the weak who are crying that we have been defeated, which is the kol of milchama. The kol of milchama, there are two sounds in the kol of milchama. There's the sound of the victors and the sound of the those who have been defeated. Two very different sounds. Rather, call anois, call cherufin ugidufin hameanin es nefesh. It is the sound of insult and curse, which afflict, torture, es nefesh, the soul, shoim on, kishenemorim loy, when these words, harsh words are said to them. Okay, so over here, what's happening over here is Rashi over here is telling you, there are two different meanings, two different ways that this word is used, but it's not really the same word. I'll show you in a moment. It's not the same word. The word ain kol anois kivurav, ain kol anois chalusha, but rather kol anois anochi shomei. It's a play on the word. Yoshua says to Moshe, you hear the sound of war. This is what you claim. Why is kol anois the word that describes war? Because in war, the people who are victorious are screaming, are shouting in joy of success. We've been successful. And those who have been defeated are raising up their voice in tzar. That is the kol milchama. Moshe says to Yeshua, no, it's not the kol. What you're hearing is the kol anois, a sound of the way, the sound of humiliation.
He spoke about this pursuit, and he says, Moshe says to him, who are going to be your leader of Israel? A leader has to listen to the people, not just you hear it, listen to them. Not, כל הנות אנוכי שומעת, so what? זה כל מלחמה במחנה. Listen, מלחמה has different sounds. So listen to that. לא כל הנות תרועה, לא כל הנות חמישה. I hear a krechts, a כאב. כל הנות אנוכי שומעת.
So the word, it's a different word. There's a word of so how do we translate? It's not a sound of victory, it's not a sound of defeat, but rather it's a sound of humiliation.
Something.
A sound of humiliation. Now, this is very important for Baal Kuriya, any real Baal Kuriya. If you listen carefully when they lay, what is the vowel under the ayin of kol of ein kol anois givura, ein kol anois chalusha? It's a chataf patach, which is a horizontal line with two dots next to it. What does that mean? It means it's not a real word, it's not a real letter. The letter is not part of the root. It is meant to be swallowed. It's anois. Whenever you have a patach with two dots, it's called a chataf patach, which means swallow it up. Say the ayin very, very quickly. Don't dwell on the ayin. Then when it says kol anois, the ayin is a regular full-fledged patach, a horizontal line, and the nun has a dot. A dot, which basically means it's poetry. It's a play on the word. Yoshua says to Moshe, I hear the kol milchama. So Moshe says, no, you don't. You're not listening well. He says, let me find the book of Pasuk again. Moshe says, ein kol, no, this is a chatach chatach. And there's no dan in the nun, which ein kol anois givura. The ein kol anois chalusha. But the truth is, kol anois. Anochi shomea. A real Baal Kriya, when they read this Pasuk, if you listen carefully, he's going to pronounce this. Three times it says these same letters, these letters. The first two times he's going to basically swallow up the ayin, but the third time he's going to pause, he's going to say the ayin, he's going to pronounce the ayin very, very well. Kol anois anoichi shomea. It's a different word. There's a dot in the nun. I don't know how that
means the eye in the nun. They'll say ah, nose, and nose.
Right, because the eye gets connected to the nun. Okay, it's a little more complicated than that. It's twice. It's connected, but it also becomes independent. But let's not focus so much on the dot in the nun. We'll just focus on the eye. The eye is a different eye. And a real Baal Kriya, when he'll say the second time, call. He will emphasize the ayin in contrast to the way he pronounced the ayin in the beginning of the pasuk, in the beginning of the pasuk of ein kol anois givura, the ein kol anois chalusha, but rather kol a nois anochi shomaya anois. You do it twice. You have to connect it, but then you also segue into it to a shvana. So what does that mean? These two words here are basically the machloikis Rashi, what Rashi says. Rashi provides two translations. He provides two translations in the word that v'loy shikatz ki loy voza v'loy shikatz enus oni. Here there is an ayin, there's a segel, okay, there's a segel, and there's a chataf segel, which means swallow up the segel as well. Now, also, you have to be aware, you know, we don't even really know what Rashi's Masorah was. Our Masorah on this page, the printed page, is to have a chataf segel, which means do not give much emphasis to the ayin, swallow. Now, if you do that, it's very similar to what Moshe said at the end, it's similar to what Yehoshua said, I hear the sound of milchama. In milchama, what do you hear? The sound of someone raising their voice. That is Rashi's first interpretation. Rashi says, sa'akastal, the cry. Doesn't talk about the emotion. We're talking about the sound waves. The outcry. The raising of the voice. Loshon tzioka. Ve'od yesh liftar. And nus l'shoin hachna kmo le onois mi ponoi. That would mean, and I don't know the rules of grammar all that well, but that would mean that the word enus is basically the end of, similar to the word at the end of the pasuk in the story of the Chet or Egel. Koil a nois onochi shmeya, a sound of humiliation. The Ani doesn't necessarily scream and cry out to Hashem. The Ani feels himself to be humiliated in a matzav of hachnof, humiliation, of humiliation. Okay, so let's review over here. Again, we're saying that this is a very powerful Rashi. You connect this. Who was the one that connected this? Who was the one from Kalman? I forget who was the one that made this very connection. Shunichno mispalo lefonech. Okay, so let's over here, let's review. We have over here a pasuk over here in the Parashas Kisisa. Kisisa, Moshe Rabbeinu, he comes down from the mountain. He meets Yehoshua. And then as they proceed, they get closer to Machane Yisrael, they hear noise. And what does Yehoshua say? Vayishma Yehoshua es koil ha'om bireo. He hears shouts. According to the Targum, he hears them shouting. And over here, Rashi says the same thing. He hears them shouting. He says to Moshe, "Kol milchama b'machane." I hear the sound of war. What is the sound of war? There are winners and there are losers. There are victors and there are people who are defeated. The people who are victorious are shouting, hip hip hooray. That's what the Christians, it's a very bad expression. You should never say hippipurei. Hippipurei is what the Christians said when they killed Jews. When the Christians, when they came into Yerushalayim, the Crusaders, and they slaughtered the Jews. There weren't many Jews there, whatever was there, there were 500, there were plenty of Jews, I take that back. There were plenty of Jews there, and they murdered them. They murdered them with a shout of hippipurei. That was their, I don't know what it means, but that was their cry of battle. That's what they would say. And when they were killing Jews, that's what they said. Hippipurei. So a Jew should never ever say that term, hippipurei. It was invented by the Crusaders when they killed Jews. And here, Vayomer Moshe Kol, so what did he say? So the people who are victorious, those who are victorious are shouting hippipurei, and those that are been defeated, they are crying, oy vey, we lost, we're dead, it's all over. That's what he says. So he says, like here, Muhammad, Vayomer Moshe says, you're making a mistake. The sound that you hear is not a kol mechama, ein kol anois gevurah. The ayin is a chataf patach. You don't hear, it's not correct. The sound that we're listening to is not the sound of anois gevurah, of a shout of victory. It's not the ein kol anois, a shout of chalusha, of defeat. But the sound that you hear is a sound of embarrassment, of humiliation. The Jewish people, they're doing something now, they're worshipping the Egel, and the sound that's really coming forth from their neshamos is, what have we done? They've brought upon themselves shame, they've brought upon themselves humiliation, and Moshe says, I can detect in the sounds that are coming forth from them, it's a their neshamos are crying out, what in the world did we just do? How have we been so foolish to exchange Hashem for an oil? Ein kol anois giruvi, ein kol anois chalusha, kol anois. The ayin is a regular patach, so it's poetic. You have the same exact four letters, ayin, nun, vav, sof, and they all have the same vowels, but the only difference is the first two times there is, next to the first patach, there are two little vertical dots. And there is no dot in the nun. And the second time when Moshe corrects Yoshua, the same exact letters, the same exact vowels, and if you're not trained in how to pronounce these words correctly, you'll probably pronounce these words exactly the same, and probably many Balei Kriya do pronounce them exactly the same, which is not correct. And no one's gonna correct you because the nuance is too small to really, you know, you can't go correct the Balei Kriya in every little nuance. And it's very difficult to really differentiate well, but a professionally trained Baal Kriya will differentiate between the first two times it says Anois and the third time. And it's a nafkamina. It's a nafkamina lahalacha. You're not even really technical, you're not even yoytze. Because there's a different meaning. The first two times Anois means it means to raise up your voice. The second time doesn't really refer to sound. It refers to a state of being. A state of being in a matzav of hachna, of humiliation, of shame. And that is exactly what Rashi here says on our pasuk. Pasuk chaf hei. Pasuk yiloi vazov lo shikatz enus oni. What does the word enus oni mean? Go back to, you have a choice. Go to Parashas Kisisa. And there Yoshua says, Moshe replies to Yoshua. Moshe gives him a lesson in diktuk. And he tells them two words which have the same letters and almost the same pronunciation, and they use differently. Those two perushim in that pasuk is exactly the same perushim here in this Rashi. What is the ani? The ani calls out. He gives a krechs. He calls out. He screams. He davens to Hashem ki im tzoik yitzak elai shonoya eshma tzaakosoy. But there's another perush. The ani doesn't even need to cry. He doesn't even need to raise his voice. His humiliation, his state of being in a humiliation, that alone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu perceives, and HaKaviyach Hashem hears, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves him from that matzah. Ein kol loishiketz enus ani v'lo histir panam mimenu v'shavay lov shomea. Oh, no, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like this week's Haftarah, this past week's Haftarah. Haloi chivnei chushim atem li. At the end of the Torah, there's something that was beautiful. You know, it's always zelu mazeh. Possibly the greatest insult in the entire Tanakh to the Jewish people was last week's Haftarah. Haloi chivnei chushim atem li. Now, I don't want to translate those words too much because it's not too good what it says and all of the connotations. It'd be very, not politically correct. Probably one of the one. Maven Yavin is probably the most racist pasuk in the whole Tanakh.
No, there's another one.
What?
So it's the same.
What was it again? Which one was it?
Tzipora.
I know.
Okay, so it's a pretty bad. It's a pretty.
No,
but
yet. That was for praise. That was for praise.
Okay, but yet, even though, but yet we Hashem are compensated because we have of the Shavus Ani. What is the Haruki Pasuk begin? Hashem will restore the Shavus Ani. Akim es sukas David hanoifeles. Okay, so it's very biblical. The pasuk of Hashem will reheshiv as Hashem will restore as shivus ani. Doesn't that sound similar to enus ani? The shivus ani with an aleph, and shivus means the captivity. It has, but as phonetically, it's very very similar. The expression. The Heshiv Hashem, Hashem will restore es Shavus, the captivity. It's kibbutz Goliath. The kibbutz Goliath of Ami, of my nation. My nation. Isn't that very phonetically similar to the word Enos, Oni, Enos, the humiliation of the Oni, the poor man? Klal Yishol and Golos. Klal Yishol and Golos is the Geder, is in the category of Enos. Humiliated. They don't like us out there. They really don't. It's not a very kind world to the Jewish people. Anti-Semitism is off the charts. Look what happened last week. It's not to be believed. What kind of crazy people there are out there. People go goes on. Enus oni, the humility of the poor man. But zelu mazeh, it's going to be the restoration of the shavus ami. Hey, this no dwings in my head because we only read this two days ago. All right, that concludes. Let's go to the next pasuk. Let's move ahead. Pasuk Chavav. Pasuk Chavav is Me'itcha Tilasi B'Kol Rav.
By the way, Kafe has three stages. Again, the same similarity. We love Bazaar, we love Shikatz. And then he says, we love Histir Panav, that's weaker. And then he says, Shamea. Listens to me.
Four madrigas. You're going from the low, Hashem's first is the negative. Loi vaza. Vaza is an intensity. Veloi shikatz. Okay, they're different. So you're saying is that word shikatz is not as bad as vaza.
Yes.
Okay, well, we have a patach for some reason. For some reason, there's a patach. Shikatz. What do you have? I don't know why, but that's what it is. You're right, you think shikatz. It says, well, shikatz for some reason. What is saying this in Mincha Shai? No Mincha Shai on this. Okay, for whatever reason, Shikatz. Hashem does not abominate. Enus oni, then he's saying below his steer, we're going a little bit higher to conceal, and then he listens. Pasik Chavav, Me'itcha Tilasi B'Kol Rav. From you is my praise in an assembly of Rav. Rav, you know, always a different translation of the word Rav. Rav either means either quantity or quality. Sometimes the word Rav means quantity, a large assembly, and sometimes the word Rav means a dignified assembly. It means Hashuvim, distinguished people. What does it mean, Berav Am? Berav Am is touching upon an amazing thing. Berav Am Hadras Melech. What does that mean? Yes, the average person will tell you, you have two shuls. One shul has 10 people. Another shul, there are 100 people. So where are you going to dive in?
Multitude of people.
Go where there's 100 people. Berov am hadras melech.
If you can fill a football stadium with people, that's
Rav Am. Right, Rovam to have 93,000 people. Rovam, MetLife can hold 93,000 people. Rovam Hadras Melech. Is that what it means? Is that what it means? That's one pshat. This is another pshat. Rov doesn't always necessarily mean a multitude. Rov means choshuv, quality. If you have a shul of 10 people, and the 10 people are quality people, they will not, they'll be moiser nefesh not to speak during davening. They listen to every single word. They take it very seriously. And you go to a meeting that has 100 people, and everyone is on a smartphone, everyone is talking, everyone is, their minds are elsewhere. So what's more choshuv? Chazal say, B'rovam, Hadras Melech. The way you can cover to the Melech is you go to a place where there's a Rav, a multitude. Yeah, the Halacha, Azar Shtein Shulchan Aruch, it says in the Gemara. Rav, 100 people.
I want to give a twist to that. The whole Rav is a Kahal that has a Rav.
Okay, Yisav also has a Rav. Yaakov, what? Esav, Yaakov said, yes, what did Yaakov, when Esav met Yaakov, what did he say?
Yeshli Rav.
I have my own rabbi. Don't tell me what to do. Esav also has a rabbi. But that's a joke. But when it says, Rav Am Hadras Melech, what is the real meaning of the word Rav? It means, on the we commonly translate it to mean
multitude.
That's not the only pshat. Rav means
greatness.
Greatness, quality. It means there's something very deep, and it's definitely true. There's definitely. Sometimes you can have a lot of people. Say again, what?
Abraham Avinu was ready to accept the Kahal of 10.
So right. He yes, Hashem. Even if there's only a few people. You know, I where did I see this? I don't remember where we learned this together. We have a rule that the whole Chamacha Haroif. Maybe it was the Rambam. I don't remember. Maybe it was the Rambam. Is that the rule of Hol Chamacha in Sanhedrin? You know, America, it's supposed to be like that. America, you know, you take a vote.
No, they took about
you take a vote. Majority rules. You know, that's Bishamay the way.
Nimdu
v'gamru.
Bishamay is quality. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe Bishamay.
But you take a vote, right? That's the way. That's life. Life is you take a vote. That's the way all it's supposed to be. You have a Sanhedrin. Berov Am Hadras. You have a Sanhedrin, and you take a vote. The majority, you have 23 Dayanim, you take a vote, the majority wins. You always have to have an odd number of judges in order that there's always going to be a majority. That's life in America. America is built upon a system from the Bible, and that's why in America, you know, everything is, you vote, the majority wins. Okay, sometimes the majority, they want a super majority, they want 60%, sometimes it's a majority. And that's it, you have to respect the majority decision. You can't go run the chief justices out of town because you disagree with their decision. Okay, you have a Supreme Court of the country, 9 judges. So they overturned. They allow all these years. They allow abortion. So did you ever see the right wing people come and try to kill the justices that voted? You never heard such a story. Where the people of the country, or even the people sitting in the Oval Office, threatened them. You never heard such a thing like this. Nope, this is the way the laws are. You don't like it, so don't like it, so go to another country. That's the way the government is set up. All of a sudden now, they decide there's a majority, and the majority has a different decision. So, we don't agree with you, so we're going to run you out of town. We're going to encourage all of the citizens to go to their homes and protest. And this comes right out of the White House. Come on. What kind of crazy? There's a majority. There's a rule. You know, that's the way, there's such a principle for the majority. So get a load of this. I think it's the Rambam. I don't know. We learned it. Shach, he says the only time you say a berov, you follow the majority, is when everyone is equal. But if you have in the group of judges, individuals who are acknowledged as being a head and shoulders above everyone else, you have to readjust the formula of what's called a majority. A majority is only when everyone is an equal, is considered to be equal. Equal. If you have a body of people and it's acknowledged, there are certain people that are. You don't always say follow the majority. And that's a very dangerous statement, obviously, because Oh, exactly. Who decides that? This is something which is very hard to deal with. Extremely, it's a monkey wrench which really makes everything very complicated. But the truth is, Chazal say this, Birov Am Hadras Melech, it does not only mean numbers. It means quality. And when you have 2 million, 1 million has 100 people, another million, you have, there's the core of the people of that million are very sick, very choshev. La halacha doesn't mean you have to go where there are 90,000 people. You go where you are in an environment that is powerful, that is holy, that is profound. Rav. So here we have this pasuk, and this really the call Rav Nidaraya Shalem Neged Yirayav. There are many pasukim which discuss this principle of Rav Am Hadas Melech, and here is one of them. From you comes forth my praise, Me'itecha, from you comes forth Tihilasi, Kama, and now Bikohol Rav, in an assembly of a Rav, Nidaraya Shalem, I will pay my vows, Neged, in the presence, Yirayav, of those that fear him. Let's see, Mitzudos David, Pasuk Avav, Me'itecha, return to my Masha, Ahalelecha. This that I praise you, Bikohol Rav Bohi Me'itecha, Ba'avur HaTeshua Sha'asisa Li, because of the salvation you have done to me, Ulzem HaNedarim Shenadarti Ba'es Tzara, Ashalim Neged Yireyav L'Farsem HaNes. Mitzvah David is taking this pasuk and is chopping it up and putting the words in a different order. He's starting off with the word Bikohol Rav. That's how he starts the pasuk. In a great assembly, Bohi Me'itecha, Bikohol Rav, the beginning of the word, the pasuk is Mitcha Tilasi, but he's not saying that's not how he's starting the pasuk. Ritzon, I will praise you. Now he's saying the word Tihilasi Bikohol Rav. I'm sorry, the first word of the pasuk, according to the Mitzvos, is Tihilasi. My praise of you, Masha Ahalelecha, Bikohol Rav, this that I praise you in a great assembly, Me'itecha, it's only because you have brought about salvation. The salvation I've experienced has come forth from you. So, I mean, it's not really much of a change, but to make it simpler, the Mitzvah David, he just takes the word Me'itecha and he puts it after the word Rav, as if the pasuk reads, Tehilasi Bikohol Rav, this that you see me Hashem, go to Shul and sing your praises. It's not because of my koichi v'yotzim yadi, it's because Me'itecha. It's because what you have done for me. This that I'm able to be a happy person and to sing praises, it's because you have brought about this salvation. And therefore, and likewise, I'm going to go and pay my dues. I haven't paid my dues to the synagogue in 20 years. Maybe it's about time I should pay my membership. I'm a member of the RC Eschat, Ani Maskir Hayon. I was a member of the RC, maybe I still am, of the RCA. And it took me a lot of work to get there because they didn't want to take me and I needed them so desperately. I needed them so desperately to help me with something and they only would help me if I was a member. So I became a member at great difficulty and I paid my dues and I paid a little bit and then I said, what do I need this for anymore? I can't afford to pay these dues anymore. I don't need the RC anymore. I got what I needed. They called me. And I paid!
I was in charge of collecting branch dues from all the
branches. Yeah, my father, so they never paid, right? They never paid.
Well,
sometimes. At the end, they began to pay. They went back. So I told them, they called me off. I said, you know, I really... I'll give you a little donation. I can't pay these are very big dues. Normally the shuls pay for the rabbi. Normally the shuls, the rabbi has a position, so the institution pays, so they charge a lot of money. I give you a donation, you know, but I'm not, so they threaten me. Okay, I said, okay, fine. So terminate my membership. That's right, we're gonna terminate my membership. So they threaten me. And they didn't terminate. They didn't terminate me. And they send me bills. Because I get the bills every year. every year get in the mail the bills, and every year the bills go higher and higher and higher. Back, they want crazy amounts of money for all the years, going back all the years. Ashalem, I said, one day I strike you rich, I pledge, I'll pay all these. But in the meantime, leave me alone. You can terminate my membership. I can't afford this. Ashalem neged yireyav, I will pay all my dues. Okay, let's see the Rashi. Rashi, Dibra Maskel, there is no Rashi on this. Next pasuk. Let's see, go further. Yechu anovim v'yisbaru, may the anovim. So what does it mean, the anovim? It simply means the humble. V'yisbaru, and may they be satisfied. Yahalu, Yahalu Hashem, Darshav, may they praise Hashem, those who seek him, Yichil Levavchem Lo'ara. This is unique. You see, a lot of psukim, you know, you'll find here and there, but this expression, without question, is a unique expression.
It's the motto of the Shai Elikirzir.
Of who?
The Shai Elikirzir.
This word?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never heard this.
Now,
I'm not familiar with Rabbi Shai, Rabbi Shai. To me, Rabbi Shai is a holy Zuchus Yogi Malenu, but I confess, until recently, I never heard of him. Everyone here ever know about Rabbi Shai? He became a sensation. He became a sensation. Became a sensation with pictures and this and that. Yehi levavchem lo'ad. May their hearts live levavchem forever. What does this mean? Let us see over here what it says over here. Let's see over here what it says over here in the Mizrach Sava. Pasik, Chav Zayin, Yoichlu Mizivche Shalme Atoido Asher Avila Hashem. Okay, may they eat. May who may eat the Anovim. Why the Anovim? He's going to be satisfied. We have to see why. And Yahalu Hashem Darshav. May they praise Hashem, those who seek him out. And Mitzudos covered on the next page. There is no Mitzudos. And here comes the important part. Yechi levavchem lo'ad, may their hearts live forever. So what does the Mitzvah Stavra over here say? On page 205, Ritzon Eloimar, Yismichu bilvavam lo'ad, may their hearts rejoice forever. Okay, ki ha-meitzer ki ilu libay mei, someone who's in pain, his heart is dead. K'moish ne'mar binovel akarmeli. When Naval realized what has happened, that Naval cursed David, and he realized, I don't remember exactly which point it's referring to. Vayomos liboy. A person. Now this is a very powerful. The lave over here means optimism. This is a very powerful concept. Is that a person has to have a positive outlook on life. Let's see what it says over here in the Rashi. Yoichlu anavim le'es ha'gulu limos ha'mashiach. The humble leading those of Mashiach. Next Rashi, yichil lach v'vad kol ze oimer lifneihem. According to Rashi, this is what will be said before them, before the anavim. Let's see over here what it says in the Radak. Radak, Pasuch of Zayin. Yoichlu, on page 203 in the Radak. Yoichlu anavim v'yisparu. Yisrael Shema Anovim. According to the Radak, the word Anovim is a reference to Klal Yisrael. Ki Agoyim Hayu Geyim Ad Eis Gulas Yisrael. The Goyim are arrogant until the Gula. The Goyim think they're dominant, the whole world revolves around them until the Gula. The Chayim Yisrael Chayim Darshav. The Jewish people are the Darshav. Shehim Darshim Oysoy Bagolus. Klal Yisrael is in a continuous state of seeking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yuchashayu Nigolim Yoichlu V'yisbohu Mishlal Oyvehem. Okay, this is very homiletic. A lot of drush, according to the Naradak. What is the eating? According to we learned in the Mitzudais, it refers to the carbon toida. They're going to offer offerings and the leaf from the carbon toida. According to the Radak, we're not discussing carbonas. We're discussing the Bizas Mitzrayim, not of Egypt, but the Bizas Shivim Umais of Le'asil Lover. In the end of days, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu will destroy our enemies, Klal Yisrael will inherit the spoils of the Umayyad Olam. It's a very, very interesting concept. We don't think about that. What?
Yeah.
It's all for the Jewish people.
It's
all to be given. You have this. You have all of you have this concept many places in the history. For example, Bizas Mitzrayim. Chazal in fact say, why did Hashem bring the famine in Egypt? Because Yosef, he collected all of the wealth of the world. All of the wealth of the world was collected in Egypt. There was no grain, there was a famine. And it was by design. Hashem was coordinating. Everything had to go together. Klal Yisrael had to go down to Mitzrayim. But on another level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a famine in the world in order that the entire world's wealth would be sent to Egypt. Concentrated in one place, so that when Klal Yisrael would leave Mitzrayim, they would take with them the wealth of the entire world. There are two different parallel worlds going on. Hashem brought a famine, so that...
Though.
What?
That is the exception.
What would be the exception?
Because generally, in wars we fought, we took no...
Spoils. We didn't take the spoils, the Egyptians.
No, I'm saying...
All right, right, right.
But
not necessarily we don't take spoils. Midian, we took the spoils. Okay, right, okay, fine, okay, okay. Hashem's doing Hashem. There are two worlds with two things going on at the same time. Hashem brought a famine in Egypt so that he brought a famine in Egypt so that Klal Yisrael would be Niskayim Ki Ger Yiyeh Zarecha B'Yeretz Lo Elohem. But at the same time, there was another plan going on. The reason why Hashem brought a famine to the world was, as Ramchal said correctly, eloquently, all of the world's wealth should be concentrated in Egypt, so that when we leave Egypt, it would be transferred to Klal Yisrael. Bizas Mitzrayim and Bizas Hayam. It's all for the Jewish people. Excellent. Same idea. Same idea. Everything that happened in Egypt was all in order to enhance. Likewise, I had another example I had before, I just forgot. But likewise, Limos, everything that's happening now in this world, it's really hard for us to imagine how all of wealth and success is developing. We don't appreciate this until Mashiach comes. Is happening, things are happening in this world, and wealth is being deposited in certain locations and regions, all so that when Mashiach will come, it will be in the optimal mokoin and way, so Klal Yisrael can benefit from it in order to serve Hashem. Okay, today, you know, during COVID, it ain't over yet. My chavrus at night called me up yesterday and he told me he never comes to the home. He has COVID. He told me, I have COVID. He was so careful for 2 years, so careful. So I said to him, big deal, I'm better than you. I'm roidef achar ha-COVID. That was my response to his text. I got COVID, big deal. I'm roidef achar ha-COVID. All right, any event. During this year, these last years, you see this all the time, they show these charts of how wealth was transferred. Enormous wealth was transferred during these last 2 years. You know, you can, some good, some bad, because of the situation. The situation was such, whether you want to be a conspiracy theorist, good for you, whatever you want to do, but the reality is things happened. Things that were shut down. Things. The situation was such where money was transferred. Massive amounts of money. They have these charts of where how money went. Money moved around the world during this time of these last 2 years. It's fascinating. That's very similar to what happened in the time of Egypt. There was a famine. Everyone needed food. So what do? You go to Egypt and you have to buy the food. You have to give over. It's not for free. Money was trained. There was a transfer of wealth, and that transfer of wealth, no one saw it coming. And years later, 210 years later, where did all that wealth go? The Klal Yisrael. Bizas Mitzrayim and Bizas Yam. And they deserved it. They worked for it. The Avodas Perach, minimum wage. The minimum wage, it wasn't like money was saying, it was legitimate. Okay, now going back to the Radak. The Radak says, Yoich, so he learns over here, that they refers to V'chim called Yisrael. He learns over here, Heim Darshav, Shehem Darshav, Moshe Magolos, Kishon Nigol, Yochum, Yisgog, Mishlal, Oyveihem. The Yisangu, Hepech, the Yisangu, they'll enjoy it. Hepech, Limash, Shehem Magolos, the opposite. Now, page 205. The Yoim Rulohem, now here's what and they will say to them, who's going to say to them? According to, let's see, the Yechi Levavchem Load, Yipay Yushoy, Al Derech Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. Hefech Vayomos Libo. The opposite, it does not say, it says, this is very interesting. By Yaakov Avinu, it doesn't say the word Vayomos. It doesn't say it anywhere. It doesn't say Vayomos, it says Vayim Adarab, Vayimoy Lehismachem. And when they told him that Yosef was alive, Vayofog Libo, it doesn't say anywhere the word Vayomos. It says Yaakov never, but Techi Ruach Yaakov Avinu, it does say that the Ruach. Vayomos liboy ki horuach hachayohi balev uksha adam batsara liboy mes kmosha omar libi cholal bikirbi. David said this about himself. David, now this is very interesting because David Chazal, this is a really great example of where you have an expression that the pshuta shel mikra means one thing, and Chazal come along and they give us an entirely different interpretation of what it means. I mean, the difference between the pshat and the drash is 180 degrees. What does it mean, libi cholal bikirbi? I personally am brainwashed, Baruch Hashem, from all the midrashim to mean that David had no yetzahar. Not that he didn't have a yetzahar, David worked on himself to such a degree. He slaughtered the Yetzirah. Every person struggles. You struggle with everything in life, every Yetzirah. Libi, my heart, which is interpreted by Chazal to mean, my Yetzirah, to do an Avera, is cholal bikirbi, is dead within me. I have absolutely no desire, no nisayon to do an Avera. So that's not the purpose of this world. You come into this world in order to have a Yetzirah to overcome. Yeah, he won. David won. Most people never finish. Most people they struggle their whole life and they don't even see the fraction of what the job. David was very good. He won. He won the battle very quickly in life. So the rest of his life he was able to enjoy life without a Yetzirah, and he gets reward for every moment of not having a Yetzirah because he's the one who killed the Yetzirah. That is the drash. But the pshat is 180 degrees. That David is saying, I'm clinically depressed. That's what it means. Libi, my ambitions, my optimism, my goals in life, my focus for the future is cholal, is dead, bikir bi. I give up on life. I'm just going to sit on the whole day and just go to sleep. And
it's the will to live.
The will to live. I have no will to live. David said this. Could you imagine David said this? Libi cholal bikirbi. I'm basically clinically depressed. I need all the meds you can get.
Well,
no desire.
The example there is of Yaakov, right? All that time.
He doesn't say that he gave up. He just says, Vayiman lehisnachen. Just because he mourned. Just because he was instead of mourning doesn't necessarily mean he gave up on life. There are people that are always in a state, always they mourn their whole life, but they very well accomplished. They're very productive. Hayaluchot v'hayaluchot. But when a person reaches a level of libi cholal bikirbi, I'm depressed. I'm clearly depressed. I have no desire to live. That's very serious. That's a very tragic. Libi cholal bikirbi. This is the pshat. Again, the drash is mamish mikotze elakotze. I am so happy with myself. I've slaughtered the Yetzirah, and now I'm just cruising along in life, doing Torah mitzvahs, serving Hashem, and reaping all the benefits because I'm the one that has succeeded and won the battle. Next, uchshiyetze me'atzara levacha, hine yichyel levavai. V'tom la, what does it mean the word la'ad forever? Ki lo yiglu od. Yimos HaMashiach, it'll be the ultimate, it's going to be forever. There's not going to be any setbacks any longer. Ela yu ba'artzam smeichim v'toivei leiv heim uvneim ad ha'olam forever. It's a very beautiful expression. Let us see if we can find another interpretation over here in the Malbim. The Malbim, look at the Malbim Pasuk Lamed. Malbim says, Achlu hinei. Let's see what the Malbim says over here on page 204. Achlu hinei kol Dishnei Eretz, all of the people. That's the wrong pasuk. I'm sorry. That's the wrong pasuk. Oh, that's pasuk lam. That's next. That's the next. Okay. Where am I reading from again? Sorry, I'm on the wrong page. I'm on the wrong page. Page 202. Page 202. The Malbum on the very, very bottom. Yoichlu midaber neged hakoyhanim makrivi atoida sheyoichlu anovim mibesar hazevach the yisbahu. So who are the anovim? He's calling the koyhanim the anovim. It's already three interpretations. According to the first interpretation, it means the humble people, shutu kemashmoi, the carbon toida, and anyone who eats the people who bring the carbon toida. Number two, it's the koyhanim, and number three, we learned it means the entire Jewish people. They're reference to the spoils of war. The yisparu v'yachakach yehalu es Hashem v'zeh yichil levavchem glad ki ilu halev hamisparnes min besar hakarbon. Mekabel will receive shefa ruchani mimoz nakonde shabo, will receive a spiritual boost from the spirituality of the food. Yichye lo'ad will live forever, b'chayim hanitzchim will live forever. Okay, now this is a very interesting idea. This is what I want is that we have this pasuk. Ki lo yalechem levada yichye adam ki al kol motzafi Hashem yichye adam. What does that mean exactly? Ki lo yalechem yichye adam ki al kol motzafi. But what is the exact words? Very kedai comes to the man. Hashem fed you the man in the midbar for 40 years. Hashem fed you man in the midbar leman hoydiacha. Ki lo yalalechem levada yichye ha'adam, ki al kol motza fi Hashem yichye ha'adam. Here's the question. And this over here, this pasuk here touches mamish upon this topic. Was the man, let's even go back a little bit further. What bracha did you make on the man? What bracha did you make on the man? Did you make a bracha? They lived for 40 years. This is a historical fact. They lived in the desert. Our ancestors lived in the desert for 40 years. They ate man every single day. What bracha did they make on the man? Did they make hamotzi lechem min... Oh, so that's one opinion. Hamotzi lechem min hashamayim. Some say, because that's what... Lechem min hashamayim. Some say they made the bracha whatever they wanted it to taste like. If you wanted it to taste like bread, you made hamotzi lechem min hashamayim. If you wanted it to taste like watermelon, you made a bori pricho adam. If you want to taste like meat, you made a shakol liya bidvaroi. Whatever we know that whatever you wanted it to taste like, that is what it tasted like. And that's the bracha. And that's the bracha.
Lechem means bread. So how you say lechem and shakolai wasn't bread? Well, yeah.
Okay, so you're right. It's a question. So what bracha did they make?
Whatever you want to call shakol.
So many mefarshim say, some say shahakol, you're right, shahakol niya bidvaroi, everything's a very good bracha. There's a long list, there are like 20 opinions, I don't know, there are many, many opinions. It's a very nice topic. You ask a child, what bracha did you make on the man? And you can play with the child, what bracha? Do you make the bracha what it wanted to taste like? Do you make a bracha, hamaytzi lechem min hashamayim, a new bracha? Some say, you need to make a bracha altogether. Toiro lab hashamayim. This was spiritual bread. There was no bracha whatsoever. You make a bracha. Now, that basically means that the man had no mamashas. The man was purely spiritual. And why do we eat the man? Leman hoydiacha, ki lo yal halechem levado yichye ha'adam, ki al kol motza fi Hashem yichye ha'adam. What does that mean exactly? So the average person will tell you that when a person eats, takes a drink, person eats food, he has to realize it may seem to the naked eye that when you, that what is sustaining you, the food. You go to a nutritionist, a dietitian, he gives you food. Hashem created the body, and there's incredible complexity, wisdom, and how Hashem made the body. And each food has certain nutrients, minerals, and the body has the ability to compensate and to transform different types of nutrients into others that are not in the food. V'chulu, v'chulu, we all understand. And if you don't have what you need today, they'll give you vitamins and they'll boost you artificially. So That's all very good to the naked eye, but that's a very dangerous thing, because the truth is, in addition to the physical food, in addition, Hashem in Shamayim, in the world of Ruchnius, is sustaining you. And by Hashem giving us man in the desert, Hashem was illustrating that, because Hashem was not giving us physical food. Hashem was giving us the man, theoretically, had no nutrients. It didn't have any. If you take the man and put the man under a microscope in a laboratory, and ask a scientist, could you live on this? They would say impossible. Maybe it's even toxic. They wouldn't even know what it is. If you would take man that was delivered in the Midbar and give it to the Jewish, bring it to a laboratory and study under a microscope, all of the scientists of the world would say there is no way a person can be sustained on what's in this man. It's not physical, it's spiritual. How did the body sustain itself on this matter? Therefore, what bracha would you make on it? Brachas are only made to be made on items that are part of this world, nutrients, minerals that the body actually needs. So the pashas would be, you can't make a bracha on this type of food. And Hashem did this to us for 40 years to make us realize that even when we revert, when we continue and go back to an ordinary life where we will be eating a product of this earth, you should know that what's really keeping you in existence, really keeping you alive, is the will of Hashem. That is the Pashup Shah. But there's a much deeper Pashup. I told this once to you before, and it's very relevant, this Pashup. I heard this from the new Novominska Rebbe Shlita. Okay, the Novominska Rebbe Zechasai Lebrachim passed away in the middle of COVID, from COVID, and his son took over. His son is a very chashuv person. He looks like him. Okay, he's a very long beard, very chashuv. And he spoke once in the Tzoy Shabbos, and he said over this, and then he quoted, I don't remember, it's not necessarily the Pshat. And he said another Mahalach, it's very enough, and he said, the man that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down to the Klal Yisrael in the desert was physical. It was physical. It had physical, it had real qualities. It was real food. It was the real deal. If you take it to a laboratory, and put under a microscope, you would discover it has all the nutrients, all the physical minerals and nutrients. And therefore, you know what bracha you made? You made whatever bracha it was. If it was hamotzi, whatever, if it looked like bread, it was bread, you made hamotzi lechem in haaretz. The miracle was, Hashem created real bread for you. In the middle of nowhere, middle of the Saudi Arabian desert, where there's nothing but sand and wind, in the middle of nowhere, bread comes down. Fresh bagels every single morning. Shocking. And these bagels, they tasted whatever you wanted to taste like, it tasted like. But it was real. If you take it to a laboratory, it was real. And what was the message? So he says, the message was, it's very profound. Hashem told the bread. I don't remember the exact nuance of how to explain this. The bread spoke. The bread actually, there was a dibur that came out of Hashem. It wasn't just Hashem. Hashem told the bread. I don't even say possible. Ki loy al lechem levado yichya adam. Hashem, what it means? Hashem told the bread, you should sustain man. It's not that Hashem is sustaining man. Hashem commanded the bread, commanded grain, wheat, nutrients. I'm giving you free will. And I'm telling you, you the bread, you should sustain a human being. Through the experience of Hashem giving man to Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael came to realize that Hashem is in charge of everything, and Hashem instructed that the bread should indeed sustain. It's not that the bread does it on its own. the bread is also commanded by Hashem to sustain man. Not like we think, oh, no, Hashem sustains, and the bread is just, no. There's an integration, there's a real integration of Choymer and Ruach, of matter and Ruach. And that's what the Lechem HaPanim was all about. The Lechem HaPanim was, the Etzem was the Mon. The Lechem HaPanim, it stayed fresh an entire week. It remained, it was steaming hot for an entire week. And those who ate even the smallest fraction, were fully satiated from eating even a crumb of the Mon. Why? Because the Mon was the ultimate representation of Ki Al Motzah Fi Hashem. The command of Hashem is Yichye HaAdam. And the nafkamina of this interpretation is Tikkun Shabbos. The Nusach of Tikkun Shabbos, you see every single Shabbos by Nusach, is all about the Lechem HaPonim. And there it says, Tikkun Shabbos, Supposedly, I say this every week, right? Supposedly. Maybe. Maybe not. It's no joke. Yeah. The Gam Ho'oi Havim, those who love Divoreha. What? Gidula Bocharu. What in the world does that mean? You say this in Nusaf every Shabbos. And also those ho'oyhavim, those who love divoreha, her words, gedula bocharu, have chosen greatness. Back a little bit. Toyameha, those who taste it, chayim zochu, they live, they merit life. Vegam, ho'oyhavim divoreha, those who love her words. Gedula Bocharu. What do these words mean? So we're not going to do the beginning of Tikkun Shabbos, but this entire little piyut in the middle of the Shemona Esrei is a reference to the Lechem HaPanim. The Lechem HaPanim, those who taste it. On Shabbos, they would distribute the Lechem HaPanim to all of the Kohanim. And everyone got a teeny, teeny little fraction. A lot of Kohanim. And there are only 12 loaves of bread. So how much did you get? You got a mashahu. So those that would taste on Shabbos from the Lechem HaPanim in the Beis HaMikdash, they live forever. And forever, they were zoche techayim, for life. Because Lechem gives life, right? Ki loyal Lechem levado yichye ha'adam. Okay, but not only, but Lechem gives life. Yichye ha'adam. The Gan, they also... Ho'oyhavim divoreha. It's words? What words? The Lechem HaPanim spoke. What do you mean it spoke? Because this is what it means in the pasuk. The Lechem HaPanim was the Etzem, the Mon. The Lechem HaPanim was a dugma of the Mon. And by the Mon it says, Ki leman hoydiacha, ki loy al halechem levado yichye ha'adam. But ki al... Ki al pi Hashem yichye ha'adam. The pi Hashem came forth from the bread itself. The man spoke. When you ate the bread, the parsha on the pasuk. Ki lo lechem levado yichye ha'adam. You don't just live. I eat the bread. No. Ki al kol motzah, the utterance of the peh of the mouth of Hashem does man live. Excuse me, where do you hear Hashem speaking to you? Where do you hear Hashem speaking to you and saying to you, live? You hear a basco coming out every single day and telling you to live? You don't hear this. Well, when you ate the man was the Pi Hashem. The man was Hashem's mouth. Kaviyocha. And when you ate the man, you heard Hashem saying, I've told this piece of food to sustain you. And review this pasuk. It's a very basic pasuk in Judaism. I gave the Jewish people man for 40 years in the desert. Why? L'man hodiyacha. To let it be known to you. There's going to be a time when the man's going to stop. And when the man stops, you're going to eat the whole day. A whole choice of cereals over here. You're going to eat all you want. And what are you going to think? You're going to think, oh, the food sustains me. The food sustains me. Because the food's not going to talk to you. The food doesn't talk. But now, for 40 years, I want to tell you a secret. The only reason why the food is sustaining you is because I told the food to sustain you. The food, my dibur, my instructions, my command comes forth through the food that it should sustain you. When you ate the man, it was as if the man was saying, Hashem commanded me that when I enter into your body, I should go and sustain your existence through the minerals and the nutrients and the delicious flavor that's within me. I'm going to do this now. You know why? Because Hashem commanded me to do this. You heard these words. Ki al kol, I'm giving you the one. Ki al kol motza, what comes forth from the Pi Hashem. The words that come forth from Hashem, that's what really gives you life. You heard those words when you ate the bread of the way the man. The man spoke to the person. The Pi Hashem came forth through the man. Oh, now you understand what it says in Tikkun Shabbos, where it says, the Kohanim that was zoiche to eat the lechem aponim, because the lechem aponim was basically just the man all over again. Those who chayim zachu, because that's what the man does. Ki lo yalo lechem levado yichyeh adam. Ki al kol motzof yashem yichyeh adam. They merit chayim. V'gam ho'oyhavim divoreha, those that love to hear those words. The motza fi Hashem that comes forth through the man, gedula bocharu, they have chosen to live a life of greatness. You listen carefully to the words of Hashem that come forth through the man. Now, why am I telling you this? Because that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk that we're reading over here. This pasuk says, yoichlu anavim v'yispahu, let the humble eat from Hashem's bread, from Hashem's food, and be sated. You just need a teeny mashu. Yahalulu Hashem Dershov. May they praise Hashem, those that seek out, those that want to hear those that want to actually hear what's saying. Yechi levavchem lo'ad. And you'll live. Chayim zochu. You will live. There is life is associated with bread. So according to the Pshutai Shel Mikra, the end of the pasuk has nothing to do with the beginning of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk says, oh, you'll eat. They'll eat. What are they going to eat? You're going to have the spoils of war. And then they're going to praise Hashem. Or you'll bring a carbon talmud. Period. And then, Yechi levavchem. You'll live forever. No. The word Yechi levavchem is going back on the achila, on the eating. In every piece of food that you eat comes forth the Motzafi Hashem. And when you connect to the Motzafi Hashem, that's Nitzchis. That is Lo'ad. That's real life. Levav is the heart, is pas is soid the liba, Chazal say. I forgot the expression, but there's bread gives satisfaction to the heart, not just the good. This is a very, it's even a higher level. It's yichid levavim through the achil of the anavim and hearing, recognizing the pi Hashem that is yoytze. A person will reciprocate and give praise, and likewise, he will live forever. Okay, we're going to stop over and take a short break. I want to gear up a little bit into Pesach Sheni.